Let's look this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory that I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and after he rose, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Amen. And that he was seen of Cephas and then of the 12. And after that, he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain this unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me, also as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God,
amen,
I am what I am.
Amen.
And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me." Father, we ask you this morning to help us. Lord, I pray that each and every one that's here this morning would hear and listen to the word of God. And I pray that it would go beyond their ears and go beyond their head and their mind, but it'd go down to their heart. Father, I pray that as we preach the gospel, that you would bless it. You've promised, Lord, that the preaching of the cross to the world is foolishness, Lord, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And I pray that this morning that, Lord, I would not preach with words only, but it being the demonstration of the Spirit and the power of God. And I pray for that same power that raised my Savior from the grave. I pray that same power would be upon me as I preach the Word of God. Lord, you know without you I can say or do nothing, but by you and through you I can do all things. And I pray now you give me the strength I need, the wisdom, the courage. And may the Lord Jesus be exalted and lifted up high where he belongs today. Amen. By the preaching of the word of God. Whatever happens, Lord, whoever's saved and whatever's done, we'll thank you and praise you for it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. This morning, I'm going to preach on the good news. Amen. The good news. Now, I know we've all been living in the same country for the last, as far as I know, we don't have any from outside our borders. Probably pretty soon we will, but anyhow, I don't know about you, but has anybody here gotten tired of the news?
Amen.
The news. I'm not talking about, I didn't say CNN, MSN, Fox, or Newsmax. If you have, I'm talking about just the news. I remember when I was young, we had about 7 channels. We had, you know, antenna, you know, walked uphill both ways to school and barefooted in the snow. It only snowed twice my whole life living in Georgia, but we had to walk in it both times to school. But you turn the news on, and when you turn on the news, they just tell you what was going on. And now, I don't know how you feel about it, but it seems like it, even when they give you good news, it's lined with bad news. You know, it's like they tell you, hey, these cases are coming down, but, you're still going to die now. It's like everything, you know, any good news we get in this world has always got some bad news with it.
Right.
Have you ever thought about that? Do you know, you hear the news that your team won, somebody else heard the news their team lost. You understand? You ever heard thought about that? They told you, they said, hey, you're going to get a $1,400 check. That's good news. I don't care who it comes from. My name's Jimmy. Take what you give me. But you know what the bad news is? Somebody's got to pay for it.
That's right.
They held my back. I called them up. I know you ain't supposed to call ours, but I called them. And got somebody to answer the phone right away. It had to be a miracle. And I said, I don't know where my check is. Everybody else got their check. I want my check. And she said, well, blah, blah, blah. I said, I'm going to tell you something. Y'all told me I got to give y'all a check. And they want a check. I said, you ain't getting my check till I get mine. I ain't going to give you your check till you get me mine. Did you know on that Friday, my check was in the mail? I believe I'm the first one that's ever twisted the arm of the IRS and won. I may find out later after that I didn't really win once they get done with me. But anyhow, y'all get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
The word gospel means to announce good news.
Right.
It means a good or joyful message. And Paul said in verse 1, he says, I declare unto you the gospel.
Amen.
And this morning, I want you to know that the only good news that has no bad news is the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you believe the gospel and receive the Lord Jesus Christ, listen to me, it's good news.
Amen.
And the wise man said this. He said, like cold water to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Amen. And this morning, I want us to look at this good news in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. The first thing I want to say about this is it's exclusive news. Now, follow me. You know, they have these exclusive interviews. And boy, they blow it up. We're going to have this exclusive interview. Or they're going to have, here's Johnny. He's given us an exclusive report. He's done an exclusive investigation. Now, you know what they're wanting you to do? They just want you to watch. A lot of times you do that. You watch that and you find, man, I heard that. So it's not quite as exclusive as what that word exclusive means. That it's unique. It's the only news like that news. And Paul said this. He said, I declare unto you, look at your Bible, the gospel.
Amen.
He didn't say, I declare unto you a gospel or some gospel. This ain't some good news. He said, but this is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There is only one true gospel.
Right.
May hurt your feelings, but it's not a Baptist gospel. Got quiet, that's fine. I've preached to myself in the shower on the back row. But it's not a Baptist gospel. It's not the Methodist gospel. It's not the Catholic gospel. It's not the Presbyterian or the Church of God or the Latter-day Saint. Let me tell you something. The gospel, you don't know whose it is. Paul said in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ.
Amen.
It is his gospel. Amen.
Amen.
He said in John 14:6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Amen.
John chapter 10 and verse 9, he said, I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. He didn't say, I am a door. He said, but I am the door.
Amen.
Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Tonight, this morning, this news, it's exclusive news. The only one who can save you is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The only thing that can help us is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, I'm writing unto you. I'm telling you the gospel.
Amen.
Think about this, it's exclusive news. But I wrote this down, and not only that, it's inclusive news. Why is it good news? Not only because it's exclusive, but it's inclusive. You said, who does it include? Everybody.
Amen.
Yeah. I mean, back a couple of months ago, I don't know how it all happened, but them guys on the internet started buying that cheap stock, and they all got rich off of it. I was really wanting to pull a trigger on that. I never got the nerve to do it. I wish I had, if you know what I'm saying. But brother, I started trying to watch that, you know, trying to figure out the stock market and all that stuff. And I'll be honest with you, Brother David, after doing it, I know less about now than I did before. It just didn't minister to me, if y'all know what I'm saying. All them arrows up and arrows down and bull and Dow and NASDAQ and all them fellas, I just don't know how it worked. And I was real, you know what I'm saying? I was real hesitant to get involved with that. But I want you to know something this morning, that this news that I'm telling you, it's for every single person in this room this morning. It's for you. When I was a little boy, we didn't have cable. We had regular TV, and we got the Gainesville paper, the Gainesville Times. My grandmother got the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. So I'd go, I'd read the sport. All I cared about was ball. All I cared about ball. Now it's my children, my preaching. I still care a lot about ball, but not as much as my preaching and my children and coon hunting. But anyhow, I'd read that sports page and I'd read that. I'd read the Atlanta Journal, the Gainesville Times. It had local news, and I'd read about Gainesville High played East Hall and how many points Chesley Watson had. I mean, I was all into it. I knew everybody, how many rebounds, how many assists. And I'd take the whole paper, the rest of the paper, and throw it away. And then I'd get that Atlanta Journal-Constitution. I'd do the same thing. I'd get that sports section, and I'd take the rest of it and throw it away. And then at night, at 6 o'clock, the news come on. And at 6:20, if I'm not mistaken, the sports would come on. And Brother Larry, I wouldn't turn it on to 6:19 and a half. Because I didn't care who got run over. I didn't care who got locked up. I didn't care who got voted in or voted out. All I wanted to know is if Greg Maddux got the win. That's all I cared about. And you see, the reason I didn't pay attention to the arrest is because it didn't have nothing to do with me. But Paul said this gospel is inclusive. Listen, it involves everybody. It's for everybody. Right. It's news. It's good news. Did you know this? Some things that are good news to you might be bad news to me. Right. And some things that might be good news to me might be bad news for you. But the truth of the matter is, this is good news for everybody.
Amen.
The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:4, who will have all men to be saved. And the coming of knowledge of the truth. He wants everybody to be saved. 2 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we just judged that if one died for all, then we're all dead. You say, I don't know why I'm here this morning. I don't know why I got out of bed. I don't know why. I want to tell you why. Because 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus Christ went to Calvary, bled and died, was buried and rose again. And this is good news for you. You say, I've been so bad. It's good news for you. Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:15, it's a faithful saying, worthy of acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. He said, I'm a sinner. Welcome to the club. You're in a room full of sinners.
Right.
And the one who thinks you're not a sinner, you're the worst sinner of the whole bunch.
Right.
Amen. I know I'm nothing, Brother David. I'm nothing. At my very best. Drew, the very best thing I can do is filthy rags in the sight of God. But this includes you this morning. I mean, have you ever been left out? Have you ever been left out? You remember you was in school, anybody ever have a birthday party and they didn't ask you?
Yeah.
And you start, hey, what do y'all got going on? Oh, nothing. And you'd hear them whispering about it, or you'd hear them talking about it, or maybe there was something else you didn't know, but you were left out. Being the middle child, that's been pretty much the story of my whole life. It's given me lots of problems and, whatever you call that, syndromes and things like that. Always left out. Birthday, hey, we're just going to have your birthday on Christmas this year. Oh, that's what I've always wanted. This was my favorite one. We're just going to give you one present for your Christmas and birthday. Oh, thanks. That's so nice of you. And boy, everybody's so excited. I was born December 21st, but this is the one Mom always uses. I know she's going, but we brought you home on Christmas Day. My mom's brilliant. She's got an earned doctor's degree. So I'm not insulting her. I wouldn't dare. But you'd think smart she is, she'd figure out that you don't celebrate the day you got brought home. You celebrate the day you was brought in. Brother Larry always felt like there was an exclusion there. But I want to say this morning, you might have been left off the list of a birthday party. You may have been left off the list to go to the lake. You might have been left off the list by whoever it is. Maybe you grew up and you weren't popular. You weren't well-liked. Maybe you sat alone at lunch. Maybe you had a hard childhood. Maybe you've had a rough life. But I want you to know, God put you on the list. He loves you. He will save you if you'll come here. I got on his list. And listen, that's the only list that matters. You say you really believe that? Believe with all my heart.
Amen.
With all my heart. If I didn't believe everybody could be saved, I wouldn't preach.
That's right.
If I had to get up here and figure out who the ones were and who the ones weren't, I'd lose my ever-loving mind, Brother Eric. I wouldn't be able to sleep at night if I thought my boy was not one of the ones, or my little girls weren't one. I wouldn't be able to go to bed. I wouldn't dare preach a God who would take. I'm going to take this little boy. I'm going to put him in hell, and he's got no choice. I don't believe in a God like that. I believe in a God that stands over there in John 3:17, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's right. That's the God I believe in. It's an inclusive. You're included in this. But it's conclusive news. That was a hard one for me, but I come up with it. It applies, believe it or not. That word conclusive means final. It means this: to end the debate, to close the book. How many remember when you was younger? Like I said, I don't watch news no more. I tried out that news mag. It's a joke. It seems like everything's just so slanted. Either it's slanted this way or slanted that way. There ain't nobody, old Fox. They just want to ride the fence. You know what I mean? But anyhow, I'm staying off that. It's Easter Sunday morning. Got to be good. Got to behave. But anyhow, Brother David, when I can remember, how many of y'all know on Monday they're going to do something? They're going to say, now tomorrow we're going to have the second part of this story. They're sitting down, this little girl, this lady, she's telling about how she went to get her hair done, and that woman put in bleach instead of dye, and her hair turned white, and then she's got, and it ends right in the middle. You're sitting there listening to the end, and they cut it off. They say, come back tomorrow night. And you turn it back on the next night, and here it is, and she went home, and not only did her hair turn white, but then it started turning loose, and it looked like she had the mange. And she's sitting there, and there's parts of hair missing on her head. And then they say, and tomorrow night, come back for part number three. Then by part number four and part number five, she looks like a weasel. Her hair's gone. And she's in the court. And they're suing this couple. And it never, there's never come, no conclusion. It never ends. It just goes on. And you know, some of these TV shows, they're in series number 25. I mean, and they've been leading you by a carrot for over 10 years. And I want to know, as long as we turn it on, they're going to keep putting it out. And I mean, it just goes on. This guy dies four times. And he keeps coming back, and he keeps coming. What I'm saying is, and there's no end to it. It just goes on and goes on and goes on. But I want you to know something. When Jesus arose from the dead, he closed the book on salvation. He ended the debate. This is good news because it answers the questions. Look in your Bible this morning quickly. I said I was going to be quick this morning. I'll be honest with you, I was as nervous this morning about preaching as I was 21 years ago when I preached my first message. I'm serious. I've been so nervous. But I'm feeling better right now. Amen. I'm going to give you three things about the gospel that makes it good news. And I want you to listen. You may leave here this morning and not hear no more good news the rest of the day. You may leave, and in fact, you may get to your car and find some real bad news. But I want you to know this is the good news for you. Look at verse number one. He says, "More brethren, I declare unto you the gospel." Verse two, "If you keep in memory that which I preached unto you." Verse number three, "For I delivered unto you." I want to talk about the declaration of the gospel. Makes it good news. What the gospel tells you and what the gospel tells me is good news. Amen. Did you know that the gospel tells us the solution to life's greatest problem? Look in verse 1. He says, "By which also you received," and where you stand in verse 2, "by which you are also saved. If you keep in memory that I preached to you, unless you have believed in vain, for I delivered to you first also that which I also received, how that Christ," here it is, "died for our sins." That Christ died for our sins. What is the declaration of the gospel? What is it? Here it is. Follow me. There is a cure for the penalty of sin.
Amen.
Christ died for our sins. That word "for," it means in the stead of, or for the sake of. Let me tell you something. When Jesus died on the cross, that was not just a tragedy. That was not just a man dying a martyr's death. That was a substitutionary death. The Bible said in Romans 5, and verse number 8, but God hath commended his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. Here it is. For us. At 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, but God hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That Jesus cured the penalty of sin. You say, I ain't got a problem with the penalty of sin. You may not yet, but if you don't get saved, you will.
That's
right. Let me tell you something. God is a holy God.
Amen.
If you were to go through every lexicon, in every concordance and every dictionary, and you are to look for just one word that sums up who God is, let me tell you what it is. Holy.
Amen.
And because God is holy, he cannot allow one sin to go unpunished.
Right.
Brother Larry, if a judge, listen to me, if a judge pardons a guilty man knowingly, then the judge is condemned. And so what's the penalty of sin? Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Ezekiel 18:4, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Hey, listen, the penalty of sin is death. And it's just not physical death. It's spiritual death. The book of Revelation talks about the second death. You see, this morning, if you're born once, you'll die twice. If you're born twice, you'll only die once. He's talking about spiritual death. And the penalty of sin is not only physical death, it's spiritual death. And I know this is not preached and it's not believed, but I'm going to tell you my Bible. It tells me that there is a place called hell where you'll be punished for sin. Now listen, you can either be pardoned for your sin by Christ or you can pay for your sin in hell.
Amen.
But sin's going to be punished.
Right.
You see, when Jesus saves you or when God saves a sinner, he doesn't just act like the sin never happened. No, that sin was punished. It was punished in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Have you ever wondered why the cross had to be so gory? Why did they have to put the nails in his pressed hands and his feet? Why did they have to put a crown of thorns upon his head? Why did the Lamb of God have to hang there for 6 hours? Why did the sun turn dark? And why at midday did it become midnight? Why? Because God was punishing sin on his own son. He was our substitute. This morning I've got good news. There is a cure for your sin.
Amen.
The only way we can get into heaven is for sin to be punished. And God punished sin in his son on the cross. The old song says, oh, what a savior. Oh, what a savior is mine. You see, this morning we're all guilty. We all deserve hell and death. We're all sorry. If we'd be honest, we've all done enough wrong this morning to go to hell. If we're being real honest, we've not done what we should do. We have done what we shouldn't do. We're all transgressors of the law. But oh, aren't you glad that Jesus was willing to go in our place? If that ain't good news, I don't know what good news is. There's a cure for sin. But on this, the Bible says this, he was buried. There's a cure for the pollution of sin. You say, what do you mean? The grave speaks of corruption. Now, he didn't corrupt. He was only there 3 days. But you know what he did? He took our corruption to the grave. The old song, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. It says this, be for sin a double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. Listen, this is what the Bible is teaching us when he was buried. Not only did he take the penalty of sin on the cross, but he took our pollution to the grave. You see, Clayton, you could take $10 from me, you better not, but you could. And I could forgive you for that, pardon you for that, but you'd still be a thief. Y'all follow me?
Yeah.
And Brother David, he could forgive us of our sin, but if he didn't cleanse us and make us a new creature and take away that pollution, we'd still be sinners. We'd still, you understand, I read about this man in England. He was locked up and sentenced to life in jail. And the Queen of England, his mother had besought the Queen of England that she would pardon her son. And after years, she kept writing and kept writing. And one day, the Queen of England signed and sealed the pardon of this man. And they walked down that cold place to that jail cell, handed him his pardon. And when they did, he just dropped his head. And they said, what's wrong with you? Why aren't you happy? And they said he began to unbutton his shirt and he pulled back his shirt and he had a cancer tumor on his chest. He said, what can the Queen do about this? And the answer is nothing. But I'm glad I know a king that can do something about it. You see, not only is there a cure from the penalty of sin, but there is a cure from the pollution of sin. Let me tell you this morning, Jesus can wash you. He said in Isaiah chapter 1, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Did you know that God's the only one who can take a black heart and wash it in red blood and make it white as snow? And not only am I not going to hell, but thank God he buried my pollution. He buried it in that grave. It declares there's a cure from the power of sin, though. Romans 1:4, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Philippians 3:10, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection. You know the difference between a saved person and a lost person? They both can sin. The Bible says if you say you have no sin, you're a liar. So anybody says, I ain't sin, you're a liar. Liar, liar, pants on fire. The difference is when you get saved, you have the ability to not sin. There's a new power. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, I believe it is, in verse 10. He said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Over there in Ephesians 3:20, the Bible says that this, I don't know why I'm going to hold this, but I think I will. My help keep somebody away. It says, now unto him. I may not break this. I don't know who gave this to the church. I might get in trouble for that. That's probably been here 40 years. You know what I'm saying? The Bible says in Ephesians 3:20, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we can ask or think. He says this, according to the power that worketh in us. Listen to me, I'm nothing. I deserve to be in hell. But as a 16-year-old boy, not only did he cure me of the penalty of sin and the pollution of sin, but he put the Holy Ghost in my heart. And I've got the power to live for God now. Amen. That's good news, ain't it? You can do all you want. You can reform. You can turn over new leaves. You can do all you want when it comes to sin. But you'll go back to it every time. Amen. The only thing that can truly set you free is the grace of God. Amen. Look at this in verse number. The Bible says this in verse 1, by which you have received, and when you stand, verse 2, by which you are saved. So we said the declaration of the gospel. I'm hurried. Hey, y'all, it's just 11:48. Hey, we might even be done by the time Methodists are done, but we're just going to try. Y'all pray for me. I'm enjoying this. The declaration is good news. Let me say this. The fact that you're hearing the gospel this morning is good news. That means God's not done with you. I've had people say to me or ask me, preacher, is God done with me? Have I done so much? Have I sinned? Have I gone so far that he's done? I say the fact that you're here tells me God's not done.
Amen.
Amen. I want to look at the transformation of the gospel. What does the gospel do? It saves. First of all, he says, by which you are saved. By which you are saved. That word saved means to deliver, to protect, to make whole. It's the only thing that can save. You see, without the grace of God and the cross of Jesus Christ and that empty tomb, we're in bad shape. This world's spiraling out of control. Can anybody else see it?
It's like somebody trying to a ship. You ever seen the old cartoons where the ship, there's a hole gets in the side and they go over there and they poke their finger in the hole and then what happens, Brother Chad? There's another hole. So they got to put their leg up there and stick their toe in that hole. And then there's another hole. And before long, there's more holes than they got fingers and toes. Let me tell you something, what we've tried to do in America. We've put our finger in the hole, and we keep putting, and there's more holes now than there's ever been before. I want you to know this. Jesus don't want to plug the holes of your life. He wants to give you a brand new life. Transformation. I'm talking about salvation. He said, you're saved by this gospel. The gospel saves. The preacher don't save. The church don't save. The communion don't save. The baptistry don't save. The tithing don't save. The grace of God saves.
Amen.
Somebody, listen, I don't know anybody from any denomination from anywhere that would say that Paul the Apostle wasn't an amazing man. They'd all say he was the greatest. But look in verse 10. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Paul said it was grace that saved me. It wasn't my intellect, it wasn't my ability, but it was grace. And by the Bible says in Ephesians 2 and verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Let me tell you the difference between false religion and true religion. False religion says you got to do more, you got to be better, you got to work harder, you got to strain, you got to waver, you got to sweat, toil, climb. But you know what the Bible teaches? The Bible teaches the works already done. Jesus has already died. The price has already been paid. And if you'll receive it, you can inherit eternal life. False religion teaches salvation is wages that you get from work that you do. The Bible teaches that salvation is an inheritance. That we receive, listen, because of our association with the Lord Jesus Christ. It saves it. I could go on, but there's a transformation that takes place. The gospel changes.
Amen.
Changes you.
Yeah.
We could all, if we wanted to, we could take and we could probably spend 3 hours this morning. People stand up and say, the Lord changed my life. The Lord changed my life.
Amen.
Let me say this, it secures. He says, by which you stand. That word stand means to be made to stand. It's not our trying, it's not our working, it's not, but the same grace that saves us, it's the same grace that keeps us saved. God, listen to me, God doesn't save you and say, all right, the rest is up to you. You better do good or I'm going to throw you in hell. You see, salvation is not getting out on parole. I don't want to ask anybody to raise their hand. I'm sure there's some here. No, I'm not going to look because I know some of our members know what I'm talking about. Not you, Elijah, I know you. I hope not. Let me see your ankles. You ain't got no bracelets on. He's good. But salvation's not getting out on parole. And you got to go to church every Sunday and check in with the parole officer. And have you done good this week? Were you nice to your neighbor? Did you get mad? Did you cut anybody off in traffic? Did you? Anyway, I'm going to leave that list to the rest of y'all. But anyhow, that's not what salvation is. When God saves you, you're free.
Yeah.
People think we're in bondage. I'm not in bondage. There's nowhere I'd rather be right now than standing here and preaching the gospel. I'm telling you, hook me up to a lie detector, and I'm telling the truth. This is what I want to do.
Amen.
When you get saved, your want to changes. Anyway, I don't know. But anyway, I know what I was saying is, God don't just save you and let you go, but He saves you and He holds you firm. The Bible says in Jude 24, now to him that is able to keep you from falling. I'll ask you something. Is God or is God not able to keep you? I believe He is. When you go to the bank and you make a deposit, what are you doing? You're trusting them that they're going to keep that which you've given to them. Am I right?
Yeah.
My granddad, Cecil Martin, he never put a dime in the bank. You know why? He grew up in the Great Depression. His mom and daddy and grandpa and grandma, they went to the bank. The bank said, sorry. They went broke. And when he passed away, I'm sure there's still money they didn't find. They found it sewed into suit coats. They found it. I mean, it was everywhere. He hated the bank. If he drove by the bank, he'd go 5 miles out of his way not to go near the bank. And he'd let you know about the bank. Them sorry lying, no good. You don't know why he was so mad? Because there was a time in his life where somebody knew had committed them something and they failed to keep their end of the deal. Did you know that when you get saved, what you're doing is you're committing your soul to the Lord Jesus Christ? You're saying, Lord, here's my heart. And by the way, that's the most valuable thing you have.
Right.
It's not your paycheck. It's not your house. And it's not even your family. It's your soul.
Amen.
The Bible says, what should a man give in exchange for his soul? What should profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? I want to say the most valuable thing you have in your possession is your soul.
Amen.
Paul said it like this. He is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. The night I got saved, you know what I did? I was just a 16-year-old boy, a rebel and all, but I was just a 16-year-old boy. And you know what I done? I got on my knees and I said, Lord, I'm going to hell. I don't want to go to hell. But I want you to save me. I know you died for me. I know you arose on the I know, and I want you to save me. I don't want to go to hell. Please save. And listen, I don't know exactly how it all works, but I know by faith what he did. He said, all right, and he took my soul.
Amen.
And now it's in his trust, not mine. And if I go to hell, it's because he failed to keep his end of the deal. But I got news for you. He's never lost one. He ain't never lost one, and he never will. And oh, listen to me this morning. I know that you've probably got eggs to pick up and ham to eat, macaroni, but this is better news than anything you've ever heard. That the gospel, it'll keep you saved. Now look, I'm done. I've done said something about ham and eggs. I know everybody's ready to go now. I had a funny ham and egg story, but I ain't going to tell it. Verse 7, verse 5, verse 6, wherever you want to look. I'm going to be in verse 5. And that he was seen of Cephas, and of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remained in this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James and of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me, also as one out of due time. Now quickly, everybody loves that adverb, quickly. I want to see the confirmation of the gospel. Now, back in the good old days, like in the late 90s, whoever would have thought you just said that? Before they ran a story on the news, what'd they have to do? They had to confirm it. Not now. They just throw it and hope it sticks. I mean, that's all they do. So, and the reason was that if they were to run a story that was false, then they would lose their credibility. But I want you to know this good news I'm telling you this morning. It's been confirmed, listen to me, by God.
Amen.
It's been confirmed.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
I don't know what you've been watching on History Channel or National Geographic. I don't know what you've been reading. I don't know what you think this morning. But I want to give you some good news. I want to tell you something. What I'm preaching this morning has been confirmed by God Almighty. Amen. He's confirmed it. It's factual. And you can believe it.
Amen.
This isn't some fable. The Bible says in Acts 1:3, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many, here it is, infallible proofs. Did you know there was a lawyer who took, and he was an agnostic. He didn't even believe. And he said he was going to take the evidence and prove that Jesus did not get up from the dead. And by the time he got done, Justin, he wasn't an agnostic. He was a born-again child of God. He said this. He said there's more evidence that Jesus is alive than that Julius lives up here in town. Julius Caesar ever existed. Oh, I just don't believe. I'm going to tell you something. It's true and it's been confirmed. What I'm preaching is the truth. It's the absolute truth.
All right.
You turn on your TV and they'll tell you a lie. You go buy a car and they're really going to tell you some lies. Right. Oh, man, old woman had it, drove it to church every Sunday, that's all. Never been abused. Go buy a lawnmower. Oh, man, that thing, I ain't hardly even, you get under there, deck's warped and the hydros is whining. You can't trust anything you hear. I got news. What I'm preaching to you, the good news of the gospel, it's true. It's true. It's real. It's right. It's right. You know why I've given my life to this? Because I know it's right. I know it's true.
Amen.
Listen to me. I'm going to give you this. We're done for good till tonight. There's three people Paul mentions that has confirmed this to be true. The first one is this, the martyrs. Verse 5. And he was seen as Cephas, Peter. This is how Peter died, nailed to a cross upside down.
Right.
What changed? I can imagine. The judge says, bring in Peter. And they come into the courtroom. Old Peter gets up there on the stand and he sits down. And the judge says, Peter, they're telling me that y'all believe Jesus is alive. Is that true? Oh, yeah, that's true. Peter, did you hear what I said? He's alive. Peter said, yep, it's true. He said, but Peter, how come when we were killing him, when we was crucifying him, you was over there cussing, smoking a cigarette at the devil's fire and rubbing your hands saying, I don't know him. I ain't one of his. And Peter says, well, there's something happened. What was it, Peter? I saw him alive.
Amen.
Peter, you really believe that? Oh, yes, I believe it. Well, Peter, I don't believe you believe it. Well, you just see it and try me and see if I don't believe it. And just a few years later, they had Peter going to a cross. And they said, Peter, we're going to crucify you. He said, please, don't do it the way my Lord was. He said, turn me upside down. And Brother Larry, you don't know why he was willing that men will live for a lie, but they won't knowingly die for a lie. Follow me. You say, what about the Muslims? They're deceived. They don't know it's a lie. These apostles would have known this was a lie if they truly had stolen the body of Jesus. Yet they hung there, every one of them. Oh, James, he talks about James. They cut his head off. Oh, listen, you could go right down the list. Each one of them died. Some of them they drug through the town and set them on fire. And just terrible things. And every one of them there to their dying breath. They said, you can kill me if you want, but I know what I see.
Yeah.
Amen. I've got news. The martyrs, they're not the only ones that have died for their faith. Oh, listen to me this morning. I'm saying, are you going to argue with Peter and the apostles? The martyrs, the multitudes. He said, not only that, he's seen the 500. All right, court, here we go. We've heard from Peter. We've heard from John. You say, well, they didn't kill John. They tried their best. They couldn't kill him. I want to ask you something. Had you rather be dead or live for the rest of your life after being boiled in hot oil? I'd say John had rather been dead. But God had something for him to do. That's why he didn't die. But anyway, another sermon for another day.
Yeah.
All right, we've heard them martyrs, but you know, they're just 12. We need to hear from somebody else. All right, and the bailiff says, all right, we got 500 plus waiting to testify. And the judge says, do what? We got 500. Yep, 500. We'll start bringing them in, and one by one. They said, we seen him. Yep, he was alive. We seen him. Yep, where'd you see him? Galilee. Then another one. Where'd you see him? Galilee. What was he doing? He was doing this. What was he doing? He was doing that. He said what he said. She said what she said. It's all lining up. I'm talking about 500. Listen to me. If you went out there and your bass boat was gone, Lord help the man. Or if I went out there, Brother Chad, y'all pray for me. And my coon dogs were gone. Don't laugh, Brother Hobbs. I'll knock you out. You better be glad you're back there. Brother Matt, you take care of him. And let's just say it. They were gone. I said, oh, no. They're gone. And all of a sudden, I looked out, and there was people everywhere out here in the parking lot. I'm talking about people everywhere. And they come in here. And they started, and they said, hey, we got to tell you something, Brother Martin. They said, Jared Baker stole your coon dog. I said, okay, I need to hear another one. Another one said, it was Jared Baker. We seen him. He had them in the back of his Volkswagen. Going down the road. And we know it was him because it had a Biden sticker on the back of it. But anyway. Anyway. And after 500 people, Brother Chad, do you think I'd say, well, I just don't believe it was him?
Amen.
So do you see how foolish that'd be? Can you imagine if your child did something that, you know, they've never done anything. They all are innocent. They all, oh, no, it wasn't my fault. I didn't do it. And 500 people come from the school and say, they did it. Guess what? We ain't going to get to 500. It's going to be fellowship time. Yeah. Brother Larry, 500 eyewitnesses saw Jesus after the cross.
Amen.
Oh, they said we seen him. They said, oh, listen, some of them they ate with him. Some of them they worshiped him. Thomas said, I put my hand in his wounds. Don't tell me he's not alive. And I want to ask you something, them Roman soldiers, do you know what the penalty was for them falling asleep on guard was? Death. You mean tell me all of them fell asleep at the same time? Did you know this? And then they said that stone was just happened to move away. You know how much that stone weighed? 4,000 pounds. I know y'all been watching the History Channel. You don't believe that, but I'm telling you the truth. It happened. I've got 500 witnesses that saw it with their own eyes, who believed it and said, this is the truth.
Amen.
Now here it is, and I'm done. For real this time, like seriously done. See, I'm preaching like a steak. Medium. Rare, done, kind of real, now I'm well done. We're getting over here like, well, Grandma likes her steak. Well done. It was confirmed by the martyrs. It was confirmed by the multitude. But here it is. It was confirmed by a murderer. Look what the Bible says, verse 9, or verse 8, and the last of all. Here it is. He was seen of me. Who's this me? Paul. He said, oh, Paul was a great preacher. He wasn't always a great preacher. Do you know the Apostle Paul was the smartest man perhaps on earth at the time of this? Did you know they say, old Joseph has said, that Paul was fluent in 18 languages? Paul wasn't like me. He wasn't some hick backwoods preacher. He was a polished, intellectual, brilliant man. He was a member of the Sanhedrin court. There was only 70 out of the whole nation of Israel, and he was one of them. He trained at the foot of Gamaliel. He was a sworn enemy of Jesus Christ. He consented unto the death of Stephen. He held their coats. He went around breathing out threatenings against the church. He would take a mama from her babies and take a daddy from and take them and kill them and go to bed and sleep good every night. Your Honor, we got one more witness we want to bring in. We're going to bring in a man who is the arch enemy of the church. He was the man who hated Jesus. Now, if you brought all your friends in, you may not can trust them, but I'm talking about, you want to know the truth about somebody, ask their enemies. And old Paul, little old Paul, they said he's about 5'5". They said he had a crooked nose from all the beatings he had took, hunched back. They had whipped him so many times, that cat of nine tails. And he was only in his early 60s when he died, but he looked like he was 100, they say. Hair white and brow wrinkled. And he, old Paul, shuffles in there, and he shuffles up there to the platform, and he sits down. And the judge says, tell me, Paul, is it true? Paul said, Your Honor, I spent most of my life trying to kill those Christians, and I hated them. I murdered him. He said, Your Honor, I'm not proud of what I did, but nobody did more to hurt the church and hurt the Lord Jesus than I did. And the judge says, tell us, Paul, is he alive? He'd say, Your Honor, he is alive.
Amen.
How do you know, Paul? Well, Your Honor, one day I was on the Damascus Road.
Amen.
And I had the letters in my hand. and I was going to take them down there and kill me some more Christians and tear some more churches up. And I was breathing out threatenings as I went, cussing and hissing. He said, while I was on my way, he said, that Jesus who they nailed to a cross, he met me in the way. I seen him with my own eyes. He asked me a question and said, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against prison. He said, Lord, your honor, this is what I said. Lord, what will thou have me to do? And he said, from that day forward, all I've done is tried to tell everybody that he's alive. This morning, I've tried to give you the good news. But it's not good for you unless you receive it. Over and over again, they use this word, seen, seen, seen. They saw him. Now I want to ask you something. By faith, have you had a personal, listen to me, pick up what I'm putting down. If you've done put down everything I've put down, pick up this, what I'm about to put down. Do you, if I were to call you to the stand this morning, do you have a testimony? Amen. That you can say, I met him. I met him. I can take you to the place. I can tell you what happened. I know that he's alive. We sung that song. You ask me how I know he lives. You know how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. Listen this morning. The most important thing you'll ever do in your life is getting on your knees before God and saying, Lord, I'm a sinner. I don't want to go to hell. And I'm going to give you my heart. I'm going to give you my life. I want you to take it and give it him your soul. That's the most important thing you can do. And then, guess what? You can get on the stand all day long and say, I know he lives. I know he lives.